Yes, he is more than able. Take your Bible, go to Romans 15. We begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read 21 verses this morning. Romans 15. We begin there in verse number 1. You get your Bible and follow along with me. Welcome. Glad that you are here on this good Lord's Day. And as Caitlin said, don't miss tonight at 6 o'clock. So you have a copy of God's Word. We are in Romans chapter 15. And we come to read the Word of God. You follow along with me and listen, because this now is God's inerrant Word. Romans 15 and verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times, and that's all of the Old Testament that Paul would speak to here, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Now he quotes from the Old Testament. Therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given to me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about, as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Together for the gospel. In the country of Switzerland, there runs a mighty river. That river is the Lützenschein. The Lützenschein runs wide and deep, but it is fed by two tributaries. One that comes out of the mountains called the White Stream, and the other that passes through the wadi or the valley called the Dark Stream. The White and the Dark Stream both run over 7 miles, and then they collide into the Lützenstrom. And there that mighty river is made of two tributaries coming together as one. The mountain people say about those in the valley, they're so dirty, they wash in the river and turn it dark. And those in the valley say of those on the mountain, they're nasty and dirty, and never do they wash. Therefore, the river runs clear. Well, those tributaries come together, and together they make a mighty force. Dear friend, the Church of the Living God is to come together out of varied backgrounds, mountain highs and valley lows. We come from every stretch of imagination around the world and through eternity, we run in one mighty river, a gospel river, together unto the glory of God. We're to be together. Look, the text says it over and over. Verse 1, you are strong. Any strong Christians here say amen. You ought to bear the weakness of those without strength. Anybody weak Christians here say amen. We even struggle to classify ourselves, don't we? Sometimes I'm weak, sometimes I'm strong. Sometimes I give, sometimes I receive. But the weak and the strong, they come together. Notice in verse 2, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good. It's not about you, it's about your neighbor. Notice in verse 5, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another. We are to think together. Verse 6, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God. You have one accord and one voice together for the gospel. Verse number 7, therefore accept one another just as Christ has accepted us. We are to accept each other going forward. Verse number 10, we see, and again, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Who are his people? The Jews are his people. And the Gentiles are to rejoice with the Jew. And God comes and Paul preached the gospel to both Jew and Gentile. This stream, one from the mountain, one from the valley, run together for the good of God, and it is together we are to be for the gospel. Oh, my soul, if the church ever got together for the gospel, what we would do. Now, this text of Romans 15 has great implication and application to the worldwide church. People meeting all over the globe today, lifting the name of Christ, some in a grass hut, some in great cathedrals, others in country churches, every race and background. John was here just the other day leading out with our good friend Dwayne Moore, and we were having this international music teaching. I had a part. Others had a part. And around the world, people, different time zones and times of day and night came together to be encouraged about the gospel. There's worldwide implication. There's denominational application and implication here. We as Southern Baptists, there's 50,000 churches across our land. Lord, what would happen if God ever got us all together for the gospel? We'd touch a land. We'd rather cuss and fight each other as go together for the gospel. Well, I can't help the universal church today, and I don't have much to say with the denomination. But I do have something to say about Olive Baptist Church. And we are to be together for the gospel. Now, this church is different than it was just 10 years ago. We are much broader. We have people on this campus. You were here in the second service. We had another church at 9:30. At the Warrington campus, they're worshiping with us even now. And they hear the gospel preached. And so we have a second campus. Not a second church. It's one church, two places. It's really one church in three places. Warrington, 9:30, 11 o'clock. This is a different crowd than is here early. The early crowd overall, if you took the age, it would be much higher than is in this service. So this is a younger service. Some of you are the antithesis of that, but altogether, in an average, we would be younger, and that would be older, and then at Warrington, it is different as well, more military that are there, and retirees and others, but you get the picture. We are to be one together with the gospel. Well, we have other ministries in this church. We have the counseling ministry that is out here. It is a part of Olive, and yet it is separate, but yet it is a part. Then we take the ministry village. It is ministry village of Olive, but it's not ours, yet it is. We fund the great portion of it, yet there's a board that runs that ministry. We have set it aside as that, and they do that ministry. I appoint the board. That's the way it's set up. And as I appoint that board, the new board will begin in April, and they run that ministry village, and we do things together there. And then there is the Health and Hope Clinic. We own the building, but not the ministry. I don't appoint that board. We just built the building, and now we lease it to them for little or nothing, and they utilize that, and they help with some, we help with some, but together we are here for the gospel. We do it together. Do you understand? If you do, say together.
Together.
That's who we're supposed to be, one together. As the church, we are together for the gospel. What we do here, what we do at counseling, what we do at Health and Hope, what we do at MVO, and there's the Early Learning Center, there is the Kids Day Out group that comes, and there's varied things but we are in it together. Oh Lord, if he ever got us together. If we ever get over ourselves and get together, and quit saying, well, you know, I could do it better than that. Well, repent. If you're stronger, then help your weaker brother. Don't cuss him. Help him. So together we are here for the gospel. But if we're going to be together, there's some things we must do together, and Paul outlines those in this 15th chapter. It's all about being together. I just read you many of those verses. One accord, one mind together. What is it we do together? Well, let me show you. First of all, we are together in proclamation. Here, Warrington, counseling, MVO, Health and Hope, we proclaim one message. God so loved the world, he gave his son. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, and the Lord Jesus came and died for you. We proclaim, look at it, verse 16, Paul said it, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God. Amen. We minister the gospel. Look in verse 19, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ Jesus the Lord. Look in verse 20. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel. It is good news, good news, good news. We are in this for the gospel. We are together in proclamation. Now Martin Luther said that in the big Bible, there are little Bibles. And what he meant by that, there are certain passages, sometimes four or five verses, but sometimes just a verse. You do know that the verse markings are not divinely inspired, don't you? Those numbers and chapters were just put in there by man so the preacher could stand up and say, turn to such and such. Okay? But there are lines that are given that Luther called little Bibles. The Bible in a nutshell, all together. Just right there. And one of those is in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is one of Luther's favorites. These are the trustworthy statements often that Paul would use, and that's what he called them. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, and here it is. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Go back to that other screen. Here it is. Here is the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is what we proclaim. If you're getting your teeth fixed, this is what we proclaim. If you're trying to save your marriage, this is what we ultimately proclaim. If you're in our college ministry on Tuesday night, this is what we're going to ultimately get you to. Now, there are many other things we do, but the bottom line is we're together in proclamation of the gospel. Christ Jesus. The word Christ means anointed one. There is no one like Jesus. Nobody else is like Jesus. He is the one and only God made flesh. He is the anointed one. Christ. He is Jesus. That word means Savior. and you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save the people from their sins. He is the anointed Savior, and he came to save. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to help us be better people. He didn't come to make us church members. Bless God, in Jesus' name, he came to save the lost. That's what he'd do for you. And then Paul says, he came to save sinners. Any sinners here this morning, say amen. Amen. Paul said, of which I am the foremost. I'm worse than anybody. I'd want to take offense. Say to Paul, no. You're not worse than me. Some of you say, well, there's got to be somebody worse than Paul. Yeah, there is. It's you. Wicked, vile, self-centered, egotistical sinners. Jesus came to save you from yourself. Bless God, what a Savior. This is the gospel, and this is what we proclaim. Just this week, out at Health and Hope Clinic, we have encouragers that go out there, many of them from our church, and they're there, and they try to be sensitive as people are in the waiting room and different places and coming in and talking and saying hello. And then, if possible, not always do they able to do it, but sometimes they're able to get to a gospel sharing. And this week they did. One of our folks shared with a lady about the gospel, and she listened intently and came to the place that she prayed to receive Jesus as her Savior right out there at the Health and Hope Clinic. And I got this report back from me. And this was the report, that when this person, this lady, prayed and asked the Lord to be her Savior, the person led her to help her pray. And I have people today, some of these preachers, I don't know. God help us. I'm so old, I'm tired of messing with preachers. But they say, well, you can't tell people how to pray. Well, if they don't know how, what do you do? Just send them off and say, do the best you can? No, if you'll pray something like this, you got to mean it in your heart. And I understand. You can't just stand up and say something and be saved. But when God's moving you something, you say, I don't know what to say, then help them. Well, this particular encourager helped them. And when she finished praying, she opened her eyes and looked and said, the burden's gone. Something's different. Something was different. The burden had been lifted from her to Jesus. That's how you get saved. It's called the transformation. Your sins are placed on the Lamb of God that died for you. You don't carry your sin into eternity anymore. Jesus carried. He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He is Jesus Christ who came to save sinners. Which Paul said he was the worst. Friend, what God did for that lady out of heaven, hope he'd do for you today. And Olive Baptist Church, if you ever get to the place, if we ever get to the place where we stop proclaiming Jesus Christ is the Savior, you ought to shut the doors and go play golf. I'm telling you, that's our message. We have no other. We teach a lot of things in Scripture and go with doctrine. Oh, there's a lot of things to teach, but you must always make your cornerstone Christ Jesus the Lord. Slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. We must be together in proclamation. But secondly, we must be together in contribution. Together, we do it together. Notice in verse 24 of our text, Paul said, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped on my way there by you. How's Paul going to be helped? Well, they're going to encourage him. They're going to bless him, but they're going to give him an offering. When I first enjoyed your company for a while, notice verse 26. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Notice verse 27. Yes, they were pleased to do so. Do what? That is, make the contribution. And they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in their material things. Look at the text. We gave them not only spiritual blessing, but now we're going to help them materialistically. We're going to meet their needs. When a man's hungry, he needs the gospel, but he also needs not only the bread of life, he needs some light bread too. And so here Paul says we are together in contribution. We give. And so we give here at Olive. This week I went out to the ministry village out where the office is, and I just knew I was going to preach on this, so I just didn't visit with them. I just watched time or two. I look, and people are getting showers. Some getting socks. You know, one of the most needed things in the world for homeless people, socks. I didn't know that. Tickets, bus tickets. We, in conjunction with our county government, we've been helping people with bus tickets, getting back home where they need to go. Down at Warrington campus, yesterday they built beds for people. Wasn't MVO so much, but it's the same mentality. They built beds, 30 of them. You ever think about going home not having a bed? How'd you like to have been a homeless person Friday night in Pensacola, Florida? You float off. I tried to go to the basketball game down at the Civic Center. It'd have been easier in a canoe than it was in my car. You can imagine what it was like for somebody to be sleeping outdoors. Why do we do that? Well, we do it so we can proclaim Christ. And when you get to the 25th chapter of the King's Voice, you're going to understand more. How do we do it? We do it. The only way we do it is when people give. It's through contribution. You should be a tither. That means you make a dollar, you give a dime. You make 100, you give a 10. You make 100 grand, you give 10,000. It's where you start. We are in the midst in America of what I've been telling you for 10 years. You hear this out of me time and time again. We are in the great wealth transfer from the great generation. Those are the people in their 80s and 90s, and they're dying. And they're passing to their children an inheritance. And when my grandfather died, he left nothing. I always remember my daddy saying, when we buried him, he had $50 in the bank, 50 bucks. That's all he had, little four-room house and $50. I remember telling Dad, I said, well, at least he's in the black. He said, well, amen. But my dad left, my daddy left. Well, my mama died the other day, she left money. There's an inheritance coming. So you have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. When that wealth transfer comes, do you tithe that or not? This is amazing. The early church, they're older, they thundered amen right there. I didn't get a peep out of this crowd. And they hollered, yes, amen. I talked to one gentleman about this a while back. He'd gotten an inheritance, and he said, well, I don't think we have to tithe on that. I said, well, okay. He said, I didn't do anything to get it. I didn't work for it. Just came. It's a gift. He said, I don't think we ought to tithe. He said, I think we ought to pray and ask God what he wants us to give. Might be more than a tithe. I said, I can guarantee you, if you pray, it's going to be more than a tithe. That's what the Old Testament says under law. I'm here to tell you, grace will cost you more. Amen. This has been the most remarkable year of giving at this church that ever I've seen in my life. We are right now $1.1 million over the budget with 3 weeks to go. 3 weeks. Really, we're 2.1 because you gave $1 million. It wasn't included in the budget to pay off the Early Learning Center building. Unbelievable. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think, you know, they're going to quit after a while. But you just keep being faithful. You remember when we did that $1 million deal over there? $1 million September? I've told this little girl's story everywhere I've been. I don't care what I'm preaching on, this story makes it. somewhere I worked this illustration in there about the little girl who came on the first Sunday of October. She said, "Pastor, I'm late." And she handed me an envelope standing right down here. And she said, "Here's my gift for $1 million September." It had $8, a quarter, and a nickel in the envelope. $8.30. She said, "I sold lemonade all month long and I made $8.30. And this is what I'm giving." Friend, she gave everything she made. It wasn't the widow's mite, but it was the child ministry's mite. And let me tell you, God multiplied that, I had two men wait till it was all over. They'd already given $10,000. They came and said, "Pastor, did we make it?" And I could tell by the tone of the voice, if we didn't make it, they were going to make it up. I said, "Well, we're really only at $500,000. "What?" I said, "Yeah, we're about 450 short." "As you got to be kidding." I said, "I am kidding. Aren't you glad? Amen." I said, "No, sir, we're not going to let anybody give over $10,000. That was the deal. Everybody, that's $10,000 is the max you can give." They said, "Glory to God," and walked off. I said, "Amen." But they just wanted to make sure we got there. That's the heart of this church. We set a goal, we want to get there. Glory to God, we want to go. But let me tell you, the church has got to be together in the gospel, together in proclamation that He came to save sinners like me, like you. He came for us. But not only are we together in this proclamation, we must be together in our contribution. It's better to give than it is to receive, and we must be givers, and you are. And I just want you to know, I'm proud of you. Don't you clap, I'm clapping right now, all right? Grateful to God for a church that would give unto the Lord together in contribution. But there's one more thing He said. Not only together in proclamation and together in contribution, but together in intercession. Notice verse 30 through 33 at the end of the chapter. "Now I urge you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, strive together." To strive together, there it is. "With me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. And now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Strive together in prayer. Paul said, pray for the preacher, but not just pray for the preacher, but pray for one another. We are to intercede for each other. Notice the three things he said pray for. Number one, pray for my protection. For he said that I would be rescued from the disobedient. There were people trying to kill Paul. There were people trying to ostracize him. People trying to tamp him down. There are people who come against us here. You need to pray, pray, pray for the protection of the church of the living God, and for its preacher, and for its leaders, and for its deacons, and for its teachers, and for its servants. Pray for protection. Secondly, pray for power. He said that my service in Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, that God would give me power, that I could minister what God would have. Pray for power. And then thirdly, he said, pray for providence. He said in verse 32, so that I may come to you in the joy of the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. You know, God puts you in just the right place so you find refreshing rest. Refreshing rest. I go home from here every Sunday, I'm physically exhausted, but I'm here to tell you I'm spiritually refreshed from being around you and being blessed by you. Some bringing burdens, some bringing victories, whatever it is, I find refreshment for my soul from people that speak into my heart. As we give here and love here, I know you're praying for me, for the will of God, for the joy of God, for the fellowship we have together. God wants us to do that. He wants to bring health and hope and MVO and counseling and Olive and Warrington. He wants us to be one together. We don't all agree with the way people, but I'm telling you, we don't have to be disagreeable. Matter of fact, if you're disagreeable, repent and bear the burden of your weaker brother. It's verse 1. Lift him up. We're here to help one another together. in the gospel. It's time to change Sunday. So it's time for somebody to change. Amen. You need to get saved today. It's time to change. On the mountain where I'm from, up in North Alabama, they never talked about somebody got redeemed or saved. When they would come, they'd say, they made the change today. That's the word. Why? Because their life was going one way and they saw evidence. They changed direction. They repented. They got saved. They made that somebody ought to change today. Somebody ought to change your membership today. You ought to come put your membership right here at Olive Baptist Church. You've been coming. You've been eating. You've been giving. Just come make it official. They come here, go to Next Steps. Some of you have been in a far country. You ought to come. I never look at my phone while I'm preaching, but I brought it today because I got something I want to read to you. I've never checked my text while I was preaching. Let's see. All positive so far. I got an email this week. I get these things. It comes to, it's called Olive Baptist Church Contact Pastor Trailer. I never got these before, but in the last year I keep getting them. When Beth Harris was alive, I never got these. She intercepted them, I guess. I don't know. You know, this coming Wednesday, she died a year ago Wednesday. On my mother's birthday, by the way. So I got an email this week. I get these. And they often, can you help or do whatever. But this one was a little different. Dear Pastor. Thank you, John. Where are you, John? I saw you out there. John Davey just sent me a text. Said, love you, Pastor. Popped up on my phone. Amen. Quit now. I got to read this, all right? Thank you, Bennett. I appreciate it, son. Amen. My son just sent me a text. Are you a great preacher? Yeah. Okay. Just thought I'd pause and get blessed a little here. The year was 2008. I was a nursing student working a night shift in one of our local hospitals. One of our patients was having a difficult time one night. He seemed a little confused, had a catheter in place, and was frequently attempting to get out of bed. The staff were trying all they could to keep him safe and in bed. But time after time, he would set off the bed alarm, indicating he was at it again. On one of the alerts, I accompanied the nurse. Remember, this girl is a nursing student. I accompanied the nurse to the room. He was found standing near the bathroom door, unsteady and pulling the catheter line as far as it would reach. He told us he was trying to get to the bathroom. He was reminded that he had a catheter and that it wasn't safe for him to get out of bed. And so he allowed me to help him back to his bed. But as we were walking together, I realized his catheter had leaked and there was urine on the floor. Although the man didn't know me, I knew him. I'd seen him at our church. I could not allow this man to get back in that bed with urine on his feet, so I washed his feet. After he was back in bed, I told him that God's not done with him yet. His eyes opened and he looked at me. It kind of scared me. He didn't say a word. I sat at the doorway to his room for quite a while and watched over him. After that shift, I never saw him again. But I've thought of him often. This big man was having one of the weakest moments of his life. And I thank God that he gave me that moment, to do something for not only that man, for me. Over the years, this memory is just keeps coming to mind, as well as whether or not to tell you this story. Each time I say no, I will not, because my reward is in heaven if I get one. I've asked God to either give me the words to say or take away the nagging thought that this needs to be told. I hope that at the moment I knelt to wash his feet, It was Jesus looking at me through Eddie Ashari's eyes. The only reason I included my name, Pastor, is because you once told us if there's not a name included, you won't read it. She was listening. My buddy walked in jails with the gospel. Died a few days after this. But he had clean feet when he died. Because some little lady took a rag and washed his feet. That, my friend, is together for the gospel. Some go to the jails and some wash feet. Some give showers. And some stand and preach. But we do it together. Together for the gospel. If you're doing it for yourself, you've missed it. Missed it a mile. This lady now is finished full time now as a nurse, helping people, I believe, in oncology. But she'll never have a better day. And she washed an old drug dealing racketeer from New York City that got gloriously saved over in Passmore Hall. Walked the streets of this city sharing Jesus. Started our drug and alcohol Most Excellent Way program. Said, "Preacher, I can't do much." Everybody can wash somebody's feet. We just got to get together for the gospel. I do my part, you do your part, we'll all do our part. And we'll do it together.